You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, the one, the only, the Oscar genius, Tony Casillas. Tony, happy Friday to you, sir.
Well, I wish I was good enough. I wish I was the Bradley Cooper of motion pictures, but I'm not. But yeah, it's a happy Friday. It's a little chilly in my world, but nevertheless, always great to be part of the 750.
That's right. So when it's chilly outside, do you have a favorite meal? You know, something that you only like to eat when it's cold outside?
Grilled cheese sandwiches.
Really? That's your go-to?
Clam chowder.
Ah, dude, that's a weird meal.
That is kind of weird, hey?
I mean, I was thinking like chili or, you know, some kind of soup. I was not, I guess clam chowder, but grilled cheese.
I don't know. It just came off, off the top of my head. I just thought about that. Maybe it's just because I'm kind of craving a grilled cheese sandwich right now and some clam chowder. But yeah, I like chili. Anything that's spicy, anything that's going to warm me up. Dull beverage, maybe a shot of whiskey, you know, that'll do.
Do you like chili with or without beans? Because that's a heavily debated thing.
Oh, I got to have beans, man.
I'm with you. Respect.
Beans and lots of ground beef. And actually, my wife does a tremendous job of making homemade chili. So that would be my 1B choice.
Good call. Well, that's a good answer. I might make a pot of chili now that you're saying that.
But there
anyway,
you go.
We'll figure that out. Tony, we had a nuclear bomb drop on the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday, something that I don't think anybody expected. And it was one of those where you like triple checked. You were like, wait, did I read this right? And, you know, am I getting punked? Is it one of those fake accounts? No. Jason Witten coming out of the booth to play once more for the Dallas Cowboys. You had some great tweets about it. What was your very first initial thought?
I was in shock. I mean, it just seems like every time we come on here, it's in the last three shows, it seems like there's been some quirky breaking news, whether it's Robert Kraft or whether it's Randy Gregory or David Irving, rather they'd rather smoke weed than play. But no, certainly, I mean, this is totally different news, but just the magnitude of it and the fact that it's one of the greatest players that's ever played for the Dallas Cowboys or in the National Football League as a tight end, I caught me totally blindsided. I was tremendously shocked at the news.
Well, you mentioned every time we come on. The other day, we said, you know, I asked you, I said, okay, well, 2 years ago, Romo retired. That was the big story. Mm-hmm. A year ago, Witten retired and Dez was released. And I asked you, I said, what could it be? I mean, what could possibly happen? There's nothing that could be that big that could happen this offseason. Lo and behold, Witten comes back. Did you ever know anybody that came back from retirement after at least a year away?
Not after being in the league 15 years, and certainly the situation that he had had going on, the transition from being a future Hall of Fame tight end to a great broadcasting gig like ESPN paying him $4 million. No, it's just it was very unconventional that this would happen. I've had guys think about it, but to actually be able to come back and after 1 year, you usually don't see that happen. But, you know, it seems to me that, you know, and I tweeted about this and we talked about this before. And, you know, guys like Jason Witten, it's kind of hard to get that football out of it. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just the whole transition after life after football, what he was doing and not really enjoying the criticism of being a broadcaster on one of the largest stage. I don't know. It just seems like I think that it's still burning in him. And you know, what a better way to go back and play with your old team and He's getting paid $3.5 million. I think that's plus incentives. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a nice little rebound to be able to have in your pocket.
I have so many questions, and that's why the 750 is so perfect, because you've been there, you've lived this life. You mentioned Witten, you know, coming back, the team he's played for, obviously, forever. A great tweet that I saw from Bobby Belt. Would you believe that Witten has played with or against 8 of the Cowboys' coaches? Jason Garrett, Kellen Moore, John Kitna, Mark Colombo, Chris Richard, he played against Ken Amato, Andre Girard, and Philip Tanner. That's absurd that 8 of the coaching staff members either played with or against him. That's crazy.
You're either really good or you're getting old. That's the way I read into that, which is not bad at all. That's quite a nugget that you had there. And just to be able to prolong a career, and after being, you know, playing 15 years and taking a year sabbatical off and then coming back, would be his 17th year if you look at it, if he continued playing, which is crazy enough as it is at 37, because we all know this, that after you get to be a certain age in national football, 34 is old football age. Mm-hmm. And to come back at 37, the guy's in tremendous shape, but yeah, it's just, again, it's just, you know, to me, I thought it was like a prank, because you just don't, things like this usually don't happen, especially if you have a really, really great job.
So my most obvious question, I think, for somebody who's been there again, like you, and different positions, you had to keep some weight on at the time that Witten doesn't. I mean, there are different circumstances to some degree, but I mean, just as somebody who's been there, and obviously you yourself, and you've known a lot of guys that have, do you really think that you can come back after a year away? I mean, do you work out the same way? I mean, things like that. I mean, what is the difference in life to go back? How easy or difficult is it?
I think it all depends on how you've aged and how your body feels. And I think, Jason, to me, you know, he's not going to be the fastest. He's not going to be as fast as he was 5 years ago. He's not going to be as fast as or quick and as he was 2 years ago. I mean, I don't know. But I think it's all about how you feel the next morning. Mm-hmm. For him, again, you look at him. I mean, he played, 169 games straight or something like that, and holds the all-time record for games played in the franchise, 200. And, I mean, once you get past 200, I mean, who cares? I mean, that's a hell of a lot of games, all right? Mm-hmm. So he is an Iron Man. He's got 1,152 receptions, which is, in a National Football League, is just absurd. But I think it's just how he feels. And, you know, I think that really has nothing to do with – age has nothing to do with actually how you feel internally. And, I mean, there's been guys who have been in the National Football League that have done it. I mean, you got Drew Brees, and you have certainly Tom Brady over 40. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's all about, you know, for him, it's – I think it's more finesse at this part of his career. It's not nothing about physicality. He's not going to be your best blocking tight end.
Right.
But if he can come back and still be in great shape and still play the game and run good routes, I don't think you're going to see that much of a drop-off when it comes to him actually being a receiver.
I agree with you. I know this comparison has been made specifically with Witten before, kind of in that Tim Duncan role, you know, I don't want to say coming off the bench. That's a weird way to put it. But, I mean, it's been reported that he's not necessarily expecting 60 snaps a game. He's going to kind of be more of a mentor, you know, kind of a player coach, kind of the older brother hanging around, whatever. I think it does help that there's a lot of familiarity with him and Dak and Zeke and the big superstar guys. Mm-hmm. Jalen Smith likes him. I think that really helps, the culture of the locker room. I think this goes without saying, though, Tony, there's no way he does this if his experience in the booth wasn't so bad, right? I mean, if he's a good broadcaster, maybe he does, but
I have to agree with you on that.
Whether it's
warranted, whether the criticism and, you know, social media, I mean, we're on social media. I know that I love reading your tweets and your banner and everything, and just like everyone else. But when it comes to be personally attack on you, trying to, you know, make this transition, it makes it very difficult. It's totally different than, you know, attacking someone or their their craft. And Jason Witten's never had to go through that
right.
in his football career on a public. No one's ever questioned his ability. I mean, he is like one of the all-time leading, tight ends in the National Football League. And then you put him on that platform and just got slammed. And, yeah, it was a growing phase to be a broadcaster. I mean, who wouldn't on that stage? And, you know, that's like the epitome of the, you know, the dream job that you want to have as a broadcaster. But sometimes be careful what you ask for, because along with that comes a lot of criticism. And, you know, and we talked about this, and you know, the personality, it's either got to exude through the broadcast. And, you know, I do, you know, I don't do it at that level. But I mean, I to be a color guy, I mean, it takes a different type of person to be able to, you know, be analytical, be concise, and really just kind of paint a picture and sound natural. And I think you kind of fought that.
I do color commentary for high school games. And it's a radio broadcast. It's not on television, obviously. And, you know, I'm not trying to say it's the most difficult thing ever, but that's difficult. I mean, so I can only imagine what it's like, you know, on Monday Night Football with the whole world watching. And it became this, unfortunately for Witten, it became a thing. You know what I mean? It became a thing of like, okay, how's he going to screw up now? You know, and people hunted for it. There was the rabbit out of the head. I mean, the way he pronounced Ebukam's name in the Rams-Chiefs game. I mean, when he broke the trophy, it was just – you're right. He was this ultra-smooth, ultra-polished guy, and then he became this oaf. You know what I mean? And, that had to be really uncomfortable.
I think the trophy was what broke the camel's back. It wasn't the straw. It may have been the trophy, that cheap-ass trophy they had. First of all, just blame it on the trophy. There was a conspiracy to just slam Jason Witten more. But, you know, I think for me, I'm surprised that I don't know if this is proper words to use. You know, did he give up because of the criticism of broadcasting? Did he think it was just a better transition for him to go back and play because he felt like that he was more comfortable and more natural? I mean, there's a lot of questions. Does he want to go into coaching? I mean, there's all these different type of theories that are floating around. But I was surprised that he didn't stay with it longer. And maybe it's just that whole platform, him with the booger eater and, you know, just the whole – I mean, it was just – it almost set him up for failure. And it's almost like ESPN really didn't do anything to help him along the way and work on it. And, you know, really it just seemed like I said, okay, here's a job. Now you just go and either you make it or you fail. This felt like that they kind of put him in a situation for failure.
I agree with you. You can't really, I mean, I guess the 3-man booth, the 2.5 man booth, it was a situation dealing with new chemistry, new camaraderie, having this new sort of thing in what Booger was. Witten certainly isn't, absent of blame here. But you're right. I mean, they did him no favors.
He didn't have any warm-ups. He didn't have any, like, you can go back to Troy and, had the World Football League. Didn't really even have these, you know, these mulligans to really try to, you know, define and develop his craft. And, and I just think for him, and I don't like to criticize anyone or about broadcasting. I mean, who am I to criticize? I mean, all you got to do is listen to me and you're like, dude, you know, you don't have any room for criticism. But I just felt like, you know, that him to be natural was his energy and everything was a football player, because I almost felt like he was trying to exude that energy in his words and delivery and broadcasting. And sometimes that comes across as just, trying to say too much and too intense. I think it felt like that he could really process back in the game of football, if that makes sense.
Well, he's back, and that is certainly gigantic news.
But, absolutely.
But it wasn't even the only news this week. So we did our first 750 of the week on Tuesday. And we finished, and then, I mean, just another bomb. The bomb well before Witten. This was a week of bombs. Randy Gregory, I don't want to say star pass rusher, but legitimate pass rusher. Certainly better than Taco Charlton, for example.
I was going to say, on this Cowboys team, he was directed to stardom.
So Randy Gregory suspended again, indefinitely again. I mean, you know, Randy has a lot of demons. I think it's well chronicled, and I think goes without saying we both wish him the best in life. This is disappointing. I mean, you know, it's disappointing, but I feel like if the Cowboys were smart, they handled the whole Randy year from a perspective of, hey, man, this is icing on the cake. You know, whatever we get out of here, we've already kind of owned this up to be a loss. And it was a good ride. Maybe the ride will continue one day down the road, but it is disappointing right now.
Well, it is disappointing, and I think the whole thing about this whole Randy Gregory thing is that the Cowboys gave him so many chances. And, you know, I'm going to have to disagree with you about demons. Look, I understand. I think, you know, addiction is addiction. You deal with things differently, and maybe it's through, you know, people don't think marijuana should be legalized. They were, but it's not. And you have a job you're supposed to do, and you're not supposed to do this and that, and you do it. I mean, how many chances do you deserve? It's like you and I, what we do or you do, and that's part of your employee handbook. If you do this, RJ, you're not going to be employed. And, you know, some jobs don't give you another chance. And I hate to use that, I guess, cliche and that analogy, but it is. That's the real world. And for him, I think it comes down to the Cowboys could never trust him. And then here's the thing about it. The fans are like, oh, you know, Randy Gregory, you know, this is a dude that, look, he's turned the corner. I mean, because last year he had, what, 6 sacks? I mean, he was a contributor. Mm-hmm. And you think he's on his way. And then he has a relapse and he doesn't make one of his drug tests. And then, you know, he's going to look probably 10, 15 years from now. He's going to look back and say, you know what? I wish I could have beat it. I wish, you know. And I'm not going to say that it's, you know, we all have demons. We all have addictions, right? Mm-hmm. But but sometimes you got to, like, look, you know, you got to grow up. You know, you're a grown ass man and you got a job to do and your employee, you know, they trust you and give you chances. And this is how you thank them.
Well, it's, you know, I agree with you. I mean, in the vein of what I've called, and we've talked about, the purple pants rule. If you have a job, and your job says you can't wear purple pants to work, and you sign a contract that says you acknowledge that, and then you do it, I mean, you know, the blame falls on you. You know, Randy's one thing. I don't think we need to spend too much time on this, but it was also reported that David Irving, who has played his most notable football with the Cowboys, is potentially facing his own suspension. David is somebody who the Cowboys have come out and said they have no intention of bringing back, so it's not like he'll be affiliated with the team. I don't know if you saw this, Tony. On Thursday, on his Instagram story, David posted, he said, I'm going to go private soon because you guys can't handle this. You know, he said you couldn't handle it when I played for the Cowboys. And, you know, imagine now, which seems to be an indication that things are going to explode even more. based on his Instagram, he's doing some film work, I guess, in New York, it looks like. Just another example of, you know, you'll look at it and say, man, what could have been?
What a waste of talent. And, you know, I hope, again, it's another example. And I thought the Instagram and being on social media and really just, you know, hey, I made a mistake. I smoked weed one time. And then, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, that's fine. The Cowboys moving on. Then the next week, next day, bam, it gets popped again and suspended indefinitely. Just doesn't make yourself look very good. And if you're really trying to be so bold and make that statement, but, you know, here's the thing. The Cowboys have gotten criticized for bringing these high-risk guys in. And I think that they were on to something. I mean, think about it. Both those guys could have really just kind of battled through this and really they'd have gotten 2 or 3 years out of them, more years out of them. I mean, it'd have been a home run for the Cowboys, but ultimately it was their decision and their demise.
You know, David Irving was somebody who Will McClay poached off of the practice squad of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was truly a lottery ticket that looked like he had hit. Randy was a second-round pick, so you do have to swallow that you passed on a lot of guys to draft Randy Gregory.
But he had problems before they drafted him.
He failed the test of the combine.
And that's the thing about this, RJ. And, you know, common sense sometimes is just amazing. They tell you whenever, hey, look, hey, we're going to throw you, I'm going to throw you a softball. In a month, I'm going to drug test you for marijuana. Hey, I'm going to throw you, it's going to be a high, I mean, it must serve you up, you knock it out of the park. Stay off pot for 30 days. And then you test, you pass the drug test.
Smoke it up.
One more time, smoke as much as you want.
So, I mean, people talk about this, but you're saying that's really how it works, is that they basically say, hey, I mean, Tony, for lack of another example, Tony, you know, hey, today's March 1st, man. We're gonna drug test you on April 1st. Just so you know, we're gonna drug test you on April 1st. Is that really how it goes down?
Exactly. It's exactly the way it goes, and it hasn't changed. And I've fact checked this, and you know, it may change in somewhat. But here's the thing: if once you're in the program, you're in the program. That means that they're going to test you randomly.
Right.
And if you're first, second, third time offender, you're going to get tested 10 times a month. All right.
Mm.
So you kind of lay your own bed, right? Make your own bed. Okay. So, you know, while I have empathy towards people that are really, you know, just hardcore drug abusers and everything, but you know, smoking pot and everything, when you have chances, when you have programs, people there to help you, you have a pot police to not tell you not to smoke, you know, it's hard for me to really feel sorry for guys like that.
It was interesting to hear Jason Garrett talk about the two of them specifically. When asked about Randy, really kind of went on this long answer. We believe in Randy. We support Randy. We want to help Randy. You know, we want to be resources for him, you know, et cetera, et cetera. When David Irving comes up, hey, you know, he played for us, and, you know, we'll see what comes of that. You know, I mean, total different tone.
Well, it sounds like Randy Gregory was a good dude. He was a good guy. Most people, when you're around him, he's a pleasant guy. David Irving, to me, seems like totally the opposite of that. There's more than just pot smoking or whatever it is. I don't, you know, maybe more personal things, and maybe didn't really appreciate what they were trying to do for him.
It's and that's why I brought up the demons. It seems like Randy truly wants to better himself and just struggles with that.
It's sad. It really, you know, it is sad. And
it's unfortunate. I mean, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's tougher for some people than others. Randy, again, clearly has some struggles, and I, you know, for both of them, I think we want the best.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to circle back to a point on Witten. And I tweeted this out on Friday morning. So we all know that he spent the year in the booth. And you've done a lot of media things over the years, and so you've been in situations like this. It's not a secret that, you know, leading up to a game, if they had, you know, call it Saints, you know, Redskins, that the Monday Night Football staff gets to talk to Sean Payton and Drew Brees and then John Gruden and, you know, Alex Smith at the time and whatever, and poke their brains. Hey, what are you thinking? What are you planning? Sometimes they're a little bit more, you know, forthright than other times, whatever. Jason Witten, Tony, he called games that featured 10 of the 13 teams that the Cowboys will play next season. So 10 of the 13 teams that are on the schedule, he has some level of intel on. I mean, like, I'm not saying that it's, you know, this is, I never saw or read the Da Vinci Code, so I'm not saying it's like the answer to the Da Vinci Code, if that even makes sense. But it's got to help, right? I mean, it can't hurt that he has all these notes from all these teams and coaches.
What was the movie with Nicolas Cage, The National Treasure?
Oh, yeah, and that's a great movie.
They found out, yeah.
People hate on Nick Cage, but that's a
scavenger,
great movie.
Yeah, the scavenger hunt. Man, I don't know. And I love, that's one thing I love about you, man, is that I love your, you know, the irony of different things. And you know so much. You can only know so much about a team. Mm-hmm. You can only study so much and, you know, the tendencies and everything. And I think for him, I think really, I saw this floating around on Twitter, and it made a lot of sense. I would expect him to go into coaching because I really think that that's his passion. And I love these theories of, we had this theory of Sean Lee possibly coming back and being the defensive coordinator. Now, the theory that Jason Witten comes back and plays a year and Jason Garrett loses his job. This is a great segue for Jason Witten to be the next head coach. All these different theories flying around. But, you know, for him, all that knowledge and everyone seeing the teams that he had, I mean, hey, the dude is brilliant when it comes to playing football. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, look at his career. Mm-hmm. Look at the living he's made on some of the routes that he's ran. How do you think the guy lasted 15 years?
No, I mean, he's obviously very bright, and which is why the notes, you know, aspect.
You think he picked the games? Like, okay, we're going to do – he probably called the ESPN executive and say, look, you know, I'm only going to He's thinking, you know, to himself, hey, I'm only going to broadcast 1 year. I'll go back to the Cowboys. Yeah. Let's pick those 10 teams that the Cowboys are going to play in 2019. Let's do those so I can get all the gravy on it, all those guys.
That was clearly the plan, Tony. I know that's obvious. He was a
mole. He got me convinced. He's a lot smarter than I give credit for.
He was a mole. He went undercover. That's what the whole it was a sting.
Exactly.
But so, I mean, I think that's cool. You mentioned something that was definitely floating around in the Twitter sphere. Lots of people, because it is kind of this situation where it looks like he will become a coach at some point. He's going to be like a player coach. That's where the Tim Duncan thing came from. And a lot of people said, okay, he'll come back. We'll fire Garrett. We'll hire Witten. Boom, championship, whatever. This to me, and I know that he's in a contract year, this feels like an endorsement of Garrett. And I don't mean that it's only, like, that's the only reason they're bringing Witten back is because of Garrett or whatever. Obviously, Jason Witten's resume speaks for itself. But, you know, to use a term that Dez Bryant coined on his way out, Garrett guys, there is no Garrett guy that is more of a Garrett guy than Jason Witten. He is the king of Garrett guys. I mean, he is, you know, the first lieutenant in the Garrett army. And so I think this speaks a lot to the point of, okay, we want to bring him in because we want him to be on the coaching staff. Okay, so that means you want people like Garrett on your coaching staff. That must mean that Garrett's, you know, roots are really deep into this, despite the fact that he's in a contract year.
Well, I don't know. I think he's Jerry's guy. I think he's Charlon Anderson's guy. I think he's the Dallas Cowboys, you know, Stephen Jones guy. And, you know, Jason Garrett, whatever relationship that they have, you know, first of all, you create your own legacy. And I think Jason Witten has done a tremendous job of doing that. He's done everything right. He's been a hell of a contributor. I mean, he's been the Iron Man for this team. And he is, you know, without any disrespect for Bob Lilly, he is probably Mr. Cowboy. He is the modern day, the guy you look at. And, you know, Bob Lilly, you'll never replace that name in history. But he is a people identify. And think about just the buzz about Jason Witten coming back. I've never seen a guy more polarizing that's not a quarterback that comes back and just people just shatters social media, trending fans. I mean, I'm happy. We're all cheering, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it's Jason Witten. But, you know, his legacy. So, you know, I think we want to get into now. We're going to start talking about, okay, we'll bring up, Dez, you know, he wasn't, you know, I'm surprised he hadn't tweeted anything out yet. He may have. I haven't seen it. Like, you know, oh, there, I told you, you know, Jason Witten is Jason Garrett's boy. So, you know, they're going to bring him back. I think he's responsible for his own legacy. Now, you know, to me, I think you can look at it that way. Or, you know, my whole thing, and I know this is a long-winded answer, is what does this do for the development of the tight ends that they have now? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, they have to find someone. But then you ask yourself, okay, is he better than the tight ends you have presently on your team?
Right.
Because he's going to play. I don't know how many snaps he's going to get, but he's coming back to start and play.
Well, so we know for sure that there are three tight ends on the roster: Jason Witten, Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz. Those three are non-negotiable. They're definitely on the roster. And, you know, Blake Jarwin.
But all those guys are all forgotten now.
Right.
Since he retired.
Oh, man. God, that would suck so much. But, I mean, because Jarwin showed promise. He definitely, mm-hmm. you know, still got a lot of promise. Dalton Schultz, you just drafted him last year. Hey, let's figure out what's going on. I think now it's really doubtful that they bring back Jeff Swaim. I thought it was doubtful to begin with. That became even more doubtful. This, not that he had necessarily strong future either, but this pretty much seals the deal for Rico Gathers this time with the Cowboys. I think that this should not prohibit the Cowboys from drafting somebody. Maybe, you know, maybe they were leaning that direction with the 58th overall pick. I don't know. But maybe you don't have to go there now. Maybe you take him, you know, in the third round. But I think, and maybe the draft gods, and I know Dane Brugler at this point of the draft show, maybe the draft gods are kind to you and Jay Sternberger falls to you in the third round, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's your plan. I think it says a lot because we talked a year ago when he retired. We said, okay, what's going to be awesome is you couldn't get Witten off the field. You know, he just never came off the field, blah, blah. Now you get to see all these other guys. So now that, you know, the year has been what it is, and now that everyone's on this same page, everyone is simpatico, Tony. Everyone, Witten included, understands, look, dude, You're not who you used to be. You're here now. It's fun. Yeah, we're going to have some good times. We're going to try to win a Super Bowl. But even you, Jason, have acknowledged that other guys need to play. And so since he's on that same page, it's certainly valuable to bring in a guy. And if Witten is going to be a coach, coach him up. Coach up whoever's going to be the heir to that position because the Cowboys didn't find it last year.
It's going to be interesting to see what the perception is of Jason Witten. I mean, I'm sure people have a lot of respect, but even for himself. I mean, he's been off a year, he's coming back. Is it you treat it like he's never been gone before? Because it's certainly different, with the team, the guys that, they won the NFC East last year without him, they won a postseason game. A lot of things have changed. You have Jason Witten coming back, he's not going to be a special teams contributor. You got him for one year. And I don't know, I think sometimes, RJ, and we say this a lot, but coming back and being a coach to another player, I've looked up to a lot of guys that have been older than me, that have been veterans, but really them to take the role, like holding your hand and telling you to develop, it's...
That would piss you off to a degree. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you'd be surprised that it doesn't have that dynamic.
Yeah.
And while I want to think, oh yeah, that's great, Coach Unville, guys don't come back for that because they're there for a purpose. Purpose are to win, they're coming back, or not win, but to play. And I don't care how old you are. You're not there to just coach somebody up because they're going to get that center line. I'll do that if I'm coaching next year, then I'll coach you up. But I don't need – you can watch me and you can mirror what I'm doing, and that's how you learn. But I think you learn by example.
You bring up an interesting point that, Witten can say, I'm not coming back to play 60 snaps a game. I'm going to come and I'm going to help the young guys, blah, blah. But to your point, whose face was everywhere when this news broke?
Oh.
He is the
first. Those 82 jerseys, man, I tell you what, let's get them out of the closet. And then now I saw something that's – you go into like the star and all you see is a number 82 jersey, you know?
I mean, he's the front man. There's no question about that. And, he's going to get a captain's patch. You know what I mean? Like, I could see it rubbing guys, I don't want to say the wrong way, but I could see it being like, hey, dude, it's kind of like, when the senior graduated, okay, we're seniors now. You know what I mean? Like, and so I could see that having some sort of effect. Like, hey, dude, you had your time. This is our time. Maybe not at the tight end spot, but just within the locker room in general. Witten had the corner locker, to be the leader, when everybody walked by, whatever, things like that. I mean, you're right. It does. You can't act like last year didn't happen. That's a great point.
Yeah, it's just to me, it'd be kind of, I don't know, I guess after 15 years and how beloved you are. And I just don't think Jason seems like a diva. I don't think he's one of these entitled guys. He doesn't seem that way. But I think there may be a little bit of resentment. It's kind of like what you mentioned. It's like the high school the high school prom king, the best looking, gets all the chicks and most smartest guy. He graduates and you're like, oh, he's gone, and decide, oh, he's got to come back for another year, and you're like, oh crap, man. I mean, I got to deal with that again. I mean, it's just the same deal, but it's different in the realm of sports, but certainly I think all those guys, man. I mean, I think, well, this is kind of odd. I mean, we want him back, but maybe not in that very that polarizing role,
right?
Because we kind of moved on.
That's why I said earlier that I think it does help with the smoothing out, if that's necessary, that Dak loves him, that Zeke loves him, that Jalen loves, that those guys, because those are your superstars, those are your front men. The fact that they have his back is pretty cool. I just this is wild. I mean, you mentioned that this really took off everywhere and was all over the place. I don't want to read too much into things, and we don't know Witten's thoughts or anything like that, but I saw Meredith Land from NBC in Dallas did an interview with him on Thursday night, and she just asked him a couple questions, and she shot a video, and he looked, overjoyed. Just looked filled with happiness. And,
yeah.
And again, I don't want to read too much into that, but I feel like we never saw him just, euphoric at any point throughout the season. It's got to feel good to be home.
Yeah, I think so. I think, again, it's what he feels natural doing. And I really think that that last year with the broadcast and all the pressure and everything. And, you know, it's kind of like something that you do and you've been doing it for a long time. And then, or it's kind of like, you know, failing at something or not failing at something and just not being that good. And you're just so frustrated, but knowing that you still have something left to go back to what you did before. And you just feel frustrated. You know, you don't have control. I think that's the thing as an athlete. You know, to a certain extent, your skills diminish, but you're always in control of your body and what, where, you know, which direction you want to go, you'd hope. And this didn't feel like he had any control and just wasn't his natural settings.
No, I think that's very fair to say. I do think it's interesting. Nobody has really talked about this, and that's what the 750 was for. In all of the fanfare that was spilled out over this, all the pomp and circumstance, and it was awesome, we had a lot of fun, had a lot of jokes and stuff on Twitter, not once did anybody or Witten ever say he's coming back for 1 year. Did you see that anywhere?
No.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
no one thinks about it. They're just all caught up in the fact he's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe people are assuming that, maybe they're not, but for all we know, I mean, he's coming back to play a couple more years. You know what I mean? Like, he never said, I'm coming back for one last go. I'm coming back for just this season. Then I'm going to go into coaching. Whatever. None of that was ever said. I know he signed a one-year deal, but that could be very easily solved by signing another one-year deal. You know what I mean? So I think that's an interesting wrinkle here.
Well, it kind of reminds me of Dirk Nowitzki. You know, Dirk's given this, and, you know, he's played in the NBA, 21 years, and he's, 40 years old. But anyway, he just seems that he's gotten the pass of them being loyal to him, and he's like, I'm going to play it by ear. But so what do you think? What's your gut feeling on this whole Jason Witten? How much do you feel like he's going to make an impact this year in their offense? Granted that they got a new play caller, Kellen Moore.
Right.
I mean, does this stop? I guess the second part of that question, does this stop the development of that and the creativity that we all long to see?
Well, it is. I mean, because I think if it's like what we talked about last year, if you're Kellen Moore, it's really hard in your mind to say, I'm going to pull Jason Witten off the field because he's Jason Witten. You know what I mean?
He's an elephant in the room, man.
You feel stupid. I don't know. I mean, for all we know, Kellen is the loudest dude at the Star in meeting rooms, but he looks meek. He looks like he would lose a discussion or a debate with Witten in that capacity. But we have never seen a Cowboys offense that had both Jason Witten and Amari Cooper. And so I think that's really interesting.
That's a good point.
I think it's poetic. I also tweeted this. Obviously, the fact that he struggled in the booth led to him coming back. But I think the fact you mentioned they won the division, they won a playoff game, the fact that the Cowboys had success is, you know, if you're Witten, is what says, okay, you know what, they're a good team. Maybe this can happen for me. Let's come back. Let's do this thing. And the whole reason that happened was Amari Cooper. I think it's poetic that Amari's first game with the Cowboys was the Monday Night Football game that Witten himself called. And that, you know, what would transpire ultimately did. But to answer the question, I think offensively the Cowboys will be better no matter what. I think that that was true before all this happened. But I guess my answer is it can't hurt. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's a low answer, but it can't hurt. I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer. He knows, you know, offensively what they want to do very well. It is funny that, you know, maybe he saw Scott Linehan was gone and said, hey, Scott's gone? All right, you know, but I think he'll help to some mild degree.
Well, I think it may have been a vote by committee to bring him back. I think Kellen Moore said, man, I gotta have Jason Witten back. Need that crutch. I need that option round, whatever it is. You got Amari Cooper. I do. When you mentioned having Amari Cooper and having the success once they traded for him, I do know this. If Jason Witten had been playing last year without Amari Cooper, I don't think we'd be – I mean, he'd been retired if he would have came back for another year, because I just don't think their offense would have been very pedestrian. I don't think they would have been able to see that. So I think maybe he understands the whole dynamic of that. And honestly, I think he's still hanging on to the hope that they can chase a ring.
You know, you just said something really interesting, and I hadn't had this thought till this moment. You said – if he had been with the Cowboys last season, And Amari Cooper hadn't happened. He probably retires because they probably, you know, struggle and whatever. Maybe maybe he's the Monday Night Football voice at that point. Maybe he's not, but he probably retires.
Well, it's kind of a safe bet to probably have that assumption, right?
But I wonder, and we'll never know this answer, but I wonder if Jason Witten's on the Cowboys in 2018, do they trade for Amari Cooper? Because, you know, if Witten's on the team, again, the guy's not going for 1,000 yards and, you know, 10 touchdowns or anything, but he's moving the chains. I mean, he's having some success. He's you tell yourself he's your weapon outside or, you know, in the middle of the field, whatever. And so maybe, you know, when it came to the point where they said, okay, we've got to trade for Amari Cooper, maybe when that conversation would have happened, they would have said, we're still all right. Witten's getting it done, whatever, blah, blah. I wonder if the absence of him is the, you know, you mentioned the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe that was the straw that made them ultimately do that. So while he was off getting that intel for them on purpose, part of the whole big plan, they also traded for Amari Cooper. Him being gone for 1 year was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Well, I think it really adds kind of I would say really wanting to see what happens this upcoming year and the curiosity of what, you know, may happen. Because again, I think that, you know what, Jason Witten is a unique breed, man. They don't make too many Tony Gonzalez's. They don't make too many Jason Wittens. All these great tight ends that have played or are playing in the National Football League. He's not going to be a Zach Ertz type of guy anymore. I mean, he's going to be the guy that he's always been, and that's being able to run routes and, like you said, get that 8 yards. I mean, there's not a better 8-yard receiver tied in that's played in the National Football League. I mean, I'd argue with anybody about that all day long, what he does.
No, I agree with you. I mean, is Witten the guy, you know, on 4th and goal that I want to throw a jump ball to in the end zone? In no way. You know what I mean? But if, you know, if it's 4th and 4, you know, 4th and 7, and I've got to convert, that's probably where I'm looking. So it's interesting. I mean, it says a lot about Witten, says a lot about Garrett. I think it says a lot about Dak. I mean, Dak's weapons, all of a sudden, you got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Jason Witten, probably some slot receiver they're going to draft, unless they do bring back Cole Beasley. And, you know, they're bringing back guys from all over the place. Maybe they might as well bring back Cole. And you got Zeke in the offensive line. I mean, there's a lot of worse situations to be in.
Well, I mean, there's a reason to be happy. I think that, I mean, this is great timing on you know, for his part, for coming back, for the whole Cowboy Nation, everyone involved to get excited about it, because it just gives you one more playmaker. And I don't know if it's just for his personality or reputation or just his whole bravado is going to give them a lot more opportunities, but it's not going to hurt. And, you know, it's great to be able to see the guy back, because he's a tremendous player, and you know, he's a great dude, man. I mean, I don't know anybody that says anything bad about Jason Witten. I think we don't know what goes on in the locker room, but I think we're all good at judging people. He seems like a good dude, so I think they're glad to have that dude back.
Last thing before we get out of here for the week, Tony, there have been some conflicting reports as to whether or not the Cowboys have met with Earl Thomas's people at the NFL Combine. Obviously, you can't, and I use the word legally very loosely because we're talking about the laws of the NFL, but you can't legally meet with him before the new league year. But obviously, all that stuff goes down, you know, when all these people and agents are together in a place like they are at the NFL Combine. So we've got that. And on Friday morning, it was reported, check this out, Tony, this will blow your socks off. Earl Thomas wants to be the highest paid safety in the NFL.
Oh, wow. Whoa. That's breaking news.
I can't believe that.
So I'm thinking about this whole dynamic of this meeting they had in St. Elmo's. It has the restaurant in Indianapolis, claim to fame, the best shrimp. And so I'm thinking, all right, you guys get a table over here by the window and we'll get one over there. We'll just kind of, you know, yell at each other, which those, you know, those rules are there to, I guess, be broken. But, you know, look, I think Earl Thomas last year was a better fit. And it's kind of like what do you need lately? And I think last year they could have used someone like Earl Thomas. on their defense, but we've kind of found out real quick how bad their offense was. So we felt like, you know, defense really was good. He wants $13 million. And, you know, before we came on, I knew we'd be talking, but, you know, Eric Berry is the highest paid safety at $13 million. Cam Chancellor, $12 million in Seattle. So that's the reason why they really ultimately didn't bring him back. But I don't know. I think now, I don't think he's going to get that. And I also saw in that tweet that he's not going to give the Cowboys a home team discount.
Well, I mean, of course. So, I mean, what is he supposed to say?
What else is he going to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd.
But the question is the Cowboys going to be willing to pay a dude like that that's coming off an injury, is older? You know, you can give him a long contract and guaranteed, I don't know, $26 million, something like that. But I think he's probably wanting more money than that. I'm going to say no. I mean, I think he's a great player, but I'm willing to see some of these old, these younger players, see what they do. Because right now, I think I want to spend, you know, a lot of my money on a pass rusher, and that's DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay your own. You got to pay DeMarcus. You got to pay Dak.
Exactly.
If you want, you can pay Amari, and you'll figure out Byron, and you're going to have to figure out Zeke at some point. So there's only so much dollars and cents. There's only so much pie. Tony, you can't share that pie all the way around.
Yeah, but no home team discount.
I would love for anybody to point to me at any example of any player ever on March 1st saying, you know what, I'll take less money to go play for them. Sure, I'll do that. I would love.
So everything we're reading into on his little mask that he's working out with his, you know, to fight allergies and has that little 20. And then, in fact, the movement to Texas just blew that out of the water because no home team discount for Earl Thomas.
I tell you what, Tony, I'm stunned that he wants to make more money than anybody else.
Exactly.
I have no idea what's wrong with the man. I mean,
I want to be the 10th highest paid safety.
I know my worth. I'm fine being the 15th highest paid season, you know. God, it's just, this is a silly season, but it makes for a lot of fun. So
isn't it great? You know, here we thought the off season that we're in the 7-5-0. You know, we'll be here. We're here every week. But tell you what, it's been interesting. Early on.
You know, football has a way of doing that. You know, in a week where you're thinking, man, what are we going to talk about? Randy Gregory, boom. David Irving, smaller boom. Jason Witten, bigger boom. Yeah. You know, that's the way it works out. Earl Thomas will keep booming it all the way long, though. We'll see what happens. Only a couple
weeks.
We'll
see March 6th when free agency opens up.
It will be fun. This was a good Friday. We hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. This was the 7-5-0.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.